from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that MAGA world is imploding, or there's some sort of a civil war brewing, and everybody's mad at everybody in Washington, D.C. I get all that, and it's crazy, it's weird. I know that Doge has been dismantled, and we're going to get to all of that today, but I got to tell you, the one story that's really gripped the heart and soul of Todd Starnes, your friendly and yet affable host, the Campbell Soup story. I want to know what the heck is going on at Campbell Soup, ladies and gentlemen. It is the weirdest story I've ever heard, but apparently, if the allegations are to be believed, if the recording is to be believed, Campbell Soup Company has been bioengineering meat and creating chicken from a 3D printer. Can you do that? It seems to me the feathers might get stuck in the print. I don't know how that works. But anyway, this story is insane. And at first I thought there's no way, we've got to be pranked here. We're getting pranked. There's no way that Campbell Soup Company would do something like this. But as the story goes, the vice president of Campbell Soup Company was caught on a secret recording saying that he doesn't eat his company's product because it's unhealthy. Now, Channel 4 News in Detroit spoke to a former employee at Campbell's, a fellow by the name of Robert Garza. Mr. Garza says he was fired after he complained about Vice President Martin Bally. Now, Garza said he recorded an hour-long rant by the top Campbell Soup Company executive because he trusted his instinct that something wasn't right with Martin. And when he went to go meet him to discuss his salary, instead, he said he sat at a restaurant and listened to an explosive hour-long tirade, and he recorded all of it. Garza is now suing Campbell, alleging racist remarks, admissions of drug use at work, and retaliation after he tried to report it. All of this filed in Wayne County Circuit Court, and names Campbell Soup Company as a defendant. Now, according to the lawsuit, Campbell's makes highly processed food for poor people, and apparently the VP made several derogatory comments about Indian employees, calling them idiots. Now, I want to play the local news report here. Cut number 9, please.
A former Campbell Soup Company employee is taking legal action against the food giant, and he's making some explosive allegations about one of its top executives. Good evening and thanks for joining us at 6. I'm Ty Steele.
I'm Kimberly Gill. Those allegations are now at the center of a lawsuit claiming the company's vice president went on an hour-long tirade attacking the company's products and employees before taking aim at its customers.
And the former employee recorded it all. Eric Erickson shares that recording and what the company is saying about it.
We have shit for f***ing poor people. Who buys our shit?
And that's just part of an over an hour long rant, says former security analyst for Campbell's, Robert Garza of Monroe.
I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. It's so healthy. Now that I know what the f*** in it, even in a can of soup, I look at it, look at me, bioengineered meat. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer, you?
The recording allegedly of Campbell's VP and Chief Information Security Officer, Martin Bally.
He has no filter.
Bally, along with another supervisor and Campbell Soup Company, named in a lawsuit filed Thursday. The suit claiming Bally made racist remarks, admits to coming to work high, and Garza fired for coming forward.
What do you think about the things that he was saying?
Oh, just pure disgust.
Garza says he usually worked remotely for Campbell's headquarters based in Camden, New Jersey. But thinking he'd be discussing his salary with Bally, he says the recording taken in person at a restaurant.
They couldn't think for the like you dumb f***.
Garza says he felt sick after the rant, deciding to go to his direct supervisor in January, keeping the recordings to himself.
He had never had any disciplinary action. They had never written him up for poor work performance.
Garza says no one at Campbell's ever followed up, and it's taken him 10 months to find a new job, calling the way the canned soup company handled it simply terrible.
They have a motto, you know, like we treat you like family, you know, here at Campbell's, you know, come work for us, you know, we treat our employees like family. That's not the case.
We did just receive a statement from Campbell's. It says, quote, if accurate, the comments in the recording are unacceptable. They do not reflect our values and the culture of our company. We are actively investigating this matter. We've also reached out directly to Martin Daly.
Okay. I don't know what to believe here, but I've seen enough. If you're in the grocery store for any amount of time and you actually look at the labels, you'll see on some of the food stuff, it says bioengineered, which this is not good. So here's my biggest problem with all of this, Dylan. It's Campbell Soup Company's statement. And this is the statement they gave the TV station in Detroit, Michigan. Quote, if accurate, the comments in the recording are unacceptable. If accurate, how do you not already know? Are you kidding me?
They know. Come on. They know.
I want to know, how do you make a chicken out of a 3D printer? That's what I want to know.
How do you make it taste like that?
If accurate, the comments in the recording are unacceptable. They do not reflect our values and the culture of our company. We're actively investigating this matter. Here's the thing. You know, you're right. They have to know if they're using. So if it's, look, if the chicken's coming out of a printer, what else is coming out of a printer?
Yeah, that begs the question there. Remind me never to get sick again, because Campbell's chicken noodle soup is like the first option I go to.
That's probably the reason you got sick in the first place.
Probably. I didn't get better after it.
The more you ate, the worse you got.
It's 3D.
Wow. Okay. Holy cow.
Great.
What the cluck is going on? Come on, Campbell. What concerns me now is what else is, you know, you just can't go to the supermarket and, I mean, you don't know what you're eating. That's the bad thing. Is you just don't know what you're eating anymore. This is not good for America. If you can't trust they took soup. It used to be the Campbell Soup Company. They took soup out. And now we know why. It's not soup. It's some sort of like sludge that was created in some sort of a lab. This is disgusting. Very disappointed in Campbell. Very disappointed. Anyway, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hope you're doing well today, and I certainly hope that your Thanksgiving dinner does not include anything made with Campbell's. Ooh, sweet Lord Almighty. All right, we've got a great show here today, folks, and there is a lot going on. I will say this, though, with RFK Jr., and one of the things I appreciate about RFK Jr., if nothing else coming out of the MAHA movement, is the fact that so many people are now paying attention to what they're putting in their bodies. You know, when you look at a lot of the food that's out there, people are now saying that a lot of the ingredients, a lot of these bioengineered food things are actually meant to get you addicted to food. So therefore, like back in the right up into the 1980s, we did not have an obesity problem in America. But then they started adding all of these additives to our food, and now people are blowing up like balloons. I went to I was at Disneyland a couple of months back. It looked like they were having the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. All these balloons. But they were humans. Teetering on those little motor scooters. It was, you know, one butt cheek, you know, is bigger than the other. You're done for. That reminds me, I couldn't help but notice, we were talking about the wheelchairs. You know, I had to fly to Atlanta this weekend. And I flew there Sunday morning. We had the big birthday party for my lovely Aunt Norma Sue, turned 90 years old. And we went to one of those Brazilian steak places where they bring the meat to you and carve it under your plate. It was very nice. Then I go back Sunday night. So it was like I didn't know what city I was in or time zone. But I couldn't help but notice I counted 14 of those little wheelchairs. And I overheard one of the people. This is bad. One of the people, And they were just kind of, you know, I'm usually the first person off the plane. So you get to, so you kind of hear maybe conversations you're not meant to hear.
The best seat.
Yeah. It's great. So as I was getting off, I heard somebody say, I hope I don't get the fat one.
No way.
And there was a big one. Mm-hmm. There was a big one on the plane. I'm not going to tell you if it was coming or going, but it was a big one. That'll throw out your back.
Oh, yeah. Because
you got to push them up the jetway.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you just started your shift, you know, you got a pulled muscle.
And if you don't have one of those back braces.
Yeah.
And, you know, forward momentum stops and you could get crushed to death.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thing.
Not enough ibuprofen for that.
By the way, I want to say hello to the guys in baggage over at Delta Airlines Memphis International Airport. They're huge fans of the show. So thank you guys for all the great work you're doing out there. And thank you for getting my bags from point A to point B and back again. So God bless you there. All right. Again, we've got a lot to talk about. This Campbell soup thing just creeps me out. And again, I'm trying to figure out how do you manufacture, I just don't get it. How do you manufacture a chicken through a 3D printer? That's what I want to know. And what's next? A human? Are they going to start doing it with humans? Good Lord. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about this. There was a lot that happened over the weekend. And I want to say from the outset, this Zohran Mamdani meeting with President Trump in the Oval Office. I got it wrong. I got it wrong. Before the meeting, and I know people are giving me a hard time on X, and I deserve it, because I thought what better way to greet Mamdani than to have Tom Holman, our great border czar, in the Oval Office with handcuffs, ready to ship this guy back to Uganda. But that didn't happen. Instead, it was a love fest. I mean, it was, I got to tell you, I felt a little awkward watching that. You know, I mean, there was kind of like a bromance going. But there's something else going on. And I'm going to explain all of this when we come back from the break, because this president is now playing at a level of chess. It may be 6D chess. I have never seen somebody play another politician like Trump played Zohran Friday. So we're going to get to that. Also, a lot of people are just really upset over this MTG situation. MTG breaking with Donald Trump. Now she's announcing that she is leaving Congress in January, which again puts the Republicans in a tough pickle right now, because our numbers are dwindling. And I'll talk about MTG. The MAGA base is just enraged over this. Now, look, there's a lot of noise. There's just a lot of noise in the conservative movement, and it's not necessary. I'm glad we're having the conversations now as opposed to the fall of next year, when we'll be on the precipice of the midterm elections. But it's a lot for everybody to sort of take in, and I'm going to do my best to try to move us through all of this and explain what I think is going on here. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in 2 free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, look, first of all, I want to set up this conversation so you understand where I'm coming from. For me, it is always about the agenda. I want to know what the person is going to do. So let's just say Dolly Parton. All right. So you support Dolly Parton's agenda. She's got Jolene out there working 9 to 5, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you've got Dolly Parton and you love Dolly's agenda. You love Dollywood. It's a great theme park. You're gonna stop and get gasoline at Dolly Parton's version of Bosom Buckies, as we're calling it. And so you love all that stuff. And then one day Dolly decides that, you know what, we're not gonna do Dollywood anymore. We're gonna get rid of Dollywood. And you're disappointed with that. That doesn't make you hate Dolly Parton, right? No, of course not. Of course not. You just disagree. You love Dollywood. And so the same thing goes for President Trump, is that just because you disagree with something the president does doesn't make you a horrible human being. But there are people within the sphere of America First who truly believe that if you oppose anything that President Trump supports, then that makes you a bad person or it makes you a liberal. And that is a very narrow and, quite frankly, dangerous way to look at the world. And I say that because yesterday word came down, and this was from Just the News, our good buddy John Solomon, and Fox, and Reuters, reporting that Doge is no longer in existence. It's been evaporated. Now, the follow-up to that is that Doge has, or at least components of it, have been moved into certain areas. So, for example, within the Department of Education, there's sort of like a Doge-like thing that, and they're keeping tabs on, you know, the government spending and overreach. I got a problem with that. And honestly, I think we needed to make Doge a cabinet-level position because there's so much grift. There is so much waste. So much money, your tax dollars being used against you in so many different ways, ways that we don't even know about yet. And the reason why is because Doge was not allowed to finish its assignment. There are still 8 months left in the Doge charter. And Congressman Tim Burchett from East Tennessee, he nailed it. He said, look, here's the problem. The deep state is made up of both Democrats and Republicans. And you've got a lot of Republicans that are living large off of the taxpayers right now. And ultimately, Tim Burchett believes that's why Elon Musk got the boot, is that too many conservatives, so-called conservatives, so many Republicans were having their little stashes of money being uncovered and revealed. And that's why they believe that Elon Musk was ultimately given the heave-ho. Now, a lot of people feel like Marjorie Taylor Greene and the loss of MTG to the entire movement is a very bad thing. And I'm curious to hear her thoughts on this. Others say that she was unhinged, she became unglued, that she never really was a Trump supporter. But the reality is that everything MTG did early on in her congressional career was spot on accurate. All of the positions she took were very accurate. So I'm wondering if having MTG leaving Congress, does it help Donald Trump or does it hurt Donald Trump? We're going to be taking your calls on this, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. By the way, ToddStearns.com for all of our new listeners. Be sure to check it out. We would love for you to read all of our great stories, great content. Also, you can visit the store, do some Christmas shopping, and of course, you can also download our free newsletter. You can do that by going to ToddStearns.com. All right, stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. You know that feeling when nausea hits and everything else just stops, like plans are ruined? You're sweaty, dizzy, you just want to curl up and disappear. Look, I've been there before, I can tell you, but let me say this. Our next sponsor has literally changed my life. It's called Relief Band. If you get nauseous, even just a little bit, it's a game changer. Relief Band is the original anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and actually prevents nausea and vomiting from motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, even chemo. And the best part, it's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, works in minutes before or after symptoms start, no side effects, no pills. It's seriously just a band you wear on your wrist, and you can adjust the intensity depending on how you're feeling. And it's not magic, it's science. Relief Band was developed for hospitals, FDA approved, clinically proven, and recommended by doctors, and that's why I trust it. I'm super mindful about what goes in my body, so I love that I can feel better without popping a pill. If you're still not convinced, well, Michael, a listener from Memphis, said the Relief Band is the first product that eliminated my motion sickness. I've tried the pills, the patch, the pressure bands. None of them worked like this. It's already helped over a million people feel better fast, and it can help you too. So if you want to cure your nausea problem fast, go to reliefband.com, use promo code STARNS, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. That's reliefband.com, promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. It's going to be a busy day. Later this afternoon, got a call last week from the White House, and they said, "Hey, look, we're wanting to feed, we're wanting to do something nice for the troops, the Memphis Safe Task Force, and would you be willing to provide a meal?" And I said, "I'd be happy to do that, Dylan." I'm really frustrated with Cassie, and the reason why I told Cassie, we need meatballs for 1,000, at least 1,000 troops, and Cassie was like, "I don't think I can do that."
Wow, Cassie.
I mean, she's not a patriot.
She's not.
No.
She didn't want to put in the work.
And I told her that you offered to bring the ketchup.
The ketchup, gallons of ketchup. I can do that all day.
So anyway, so this afternoon, long story short, the attorney general's in town. She's going to be there. So Pam Bondi and I are going to be serving food along with the HUD secretary. Scott Turner will be there. And I believe the governor, as well as Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty, are all going to be here. It is going to be a wild afternoon, and we are feeding 1,000 law enforcement agents, federal agents, and we could not do without some great help, because I made a couple of calls, you know, because that cost a lot of money to do. And our good buddy, Tennessee State Senator Brent Taylor, and Rachel Bells, of course, the Bells family, they own the Peabody Hotel. Paul Boyle, who is one of our great investment folks. And get this, Dylan, Jim LoSapio, who owns a lot of the major restaurants, including Rum Boogie on Beale Street, and incredible food. Jim and his crew right now are making like chicken and dressing, all the fixins.
That's probably the best meal you're going to get.
It's going to be a great meal. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great meal. So anyway, all of that coming up today, and we'll take a lot of pictures, and we'll have some great audio as well, and we'll tell you all about how it all turned out tomorrow. Meanwhile, in town, it's like every major Republican in the state of Tennessee is in Memphis today, including our next guest, Monty Fritz, who is running to be the next governor of the great state of Tennessee. Monty, good to have you with us today.
Hey, good morning, Todd, and happy Thanksgiving. And what a great thing y'all are doing for the law enforcement, the troops here. They deserve it. Many of them are away from home, so thank you so much for what you're doing.
Well, we were thinking about barbecue, but everybody has been feeding these guys barbecue. So we figure, why not give them a little taste of Thanksgiving with some good old-fashioned chicken and dressing?
It's a great idea. Again, thank you so much.
Monty, we're excited to have you here. I know you're running against Senator Marsha Blackburn, who is also in that primary, Congressman John Rose. You are in the State House, and you are one of these guys that would be, I guess, an America First conservative.
I am absolutely that. I'm an America First and Tennessee First conservative. I'm a constitutionalist, and I think God has blessed this state of Tennessee and these United States so much. I don't think we've reached our full potential because, you know, our founders talked about us moving toward a continuous improvement in order to form a more perfect union. And we're still working on that. adherence to our Constitution and the authority of God's word is what makes America and Tennessee great.
So you're a Liberty University guy.
I am.
As well as what, MIT?
Well, University of Tennessee First, Roan State student as well, Liberty University. And I did a 12-week course with MIT on leading operational excellence when I was managing operations at Nuclear Fuel Services.
Well, it sounds like you did a good job. We haven't had any major incidents. Nobody's glowing here in Tennessee, so I think that must be well done you.
Yeah, the glow is the tritium. That's not the uranium. The uranium's not a big glow thing. That's the tritium. I have a little experience with that.
I love it. There is a lot happening in the country that is impacting what's going on here in this state and many others, especially among young people, and it seems – and we hear these calls all the time, and I know the White House is saying things are great, we should be celebrating, we should not be talking about anything else other than celebrating the economy. And I get that, but the reality is a lot of young people, they're struggling right now.
Affordability is a big issue for our young folks. I met with the UTK College Republicans recently, and affordability illegal aliens, big issue on their list, and they see how they draw the correlations. These are smart young people that they understand that we're providing rooftops for more people than Americans now, and that's causing the cost to go up. Most of them are really opposed to us providing any health care or education benefits to foreign citizens, and so am I. You know, we tried to run that legislation this year that would requires parents to bring documentation that all parents that their child was legally attending a Tennessee school, K through 12 school. That went down in the Senate, unfortunately. It would not have necessarily denied the access to the kid to education, but if they couldn't provide the paperwork, it would require the parent to provide the TESA funding up front, which I think is fair.
Now, again, for our national audience, when you look at the governor's race, and not just here, but in other states as well, how important is it for the governors, and what should we be looking at in a governor in this era where a lot of those responsibilities are coming back to the state level?
I think everything rises and falls on the leader. It's been that way all through scriptural history, all through world history, and that certainly in American history. Great leaders like Washington were able to accomplish things nobody thought they would be able to. I think it's time that we have a veteran in the Tennessee House. It's been a while since we've had that. I think that it's important that leaders lead, and that means we go to the places and understand the things that are problematic and celebratory for the people that we serve. Leadership is very much a service thing, and I God has blessed me to be a leader, so I look forward to leading the state of Tennessee.
So there's a guy you mentioned, the House. There is a major congressional race coming up, the 7th congressional district race, replacing Mark Green. This is going to have implications here. This has been a solid Republican seat, and some of the polling data suggests it may be close. Matt Van Epps is the Republican, and then a woman by the name of Afton Bain, and we've talked about her on this show. She's the blonde-haired AOC. She's someone who's on record as saying she actually hates Nashville, but she wants to represent them in the House of Representatives. And I'm wondering, why is this race actually as close as they think it is?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen any polling data, but all of my Republican friends must get out and vote. Matt's dependent on that, a high turnout of vote, I think, and we need to do that. Afton, bless her heart, and many of those who think like her and AOC and Ilhan and the others that think that way, I think they don't just hate Nashville. I think they hate our Constitution and hate America. And I'm sure she'll backtrack from those statements, but why would we elect someone who hates American exceptionalism or our Tennessee values, someone who is a rabid abortionist? Why would we elect someone like that in Tennessee? So I plead with my friends in Middle Tennessee, get out and vote.
I think that's it. I mean, when you look at what happened in those special elections, you had Virginia, New Jersey, New York City, Republicans just did not get out and vote in the numbers they should have.
They didn't. And I will tell you, I'm going to kind of sting probably some of my federal leaders a little bit with this, but we promise lots of things and we don't deliver on all of them. We've done that in the state. We promise that we're 2A supporters and then we don't follow up. We appeal the Hughes v. Lee lawsuit. We promise that we're going to codify some of the good things that President Trump has done, and we're reluctant to do that. There's an agenda. We voted for an agenda, and by golly, we need to get that agenda through, and we need to start acting like we have the majority.
I mean, President Trump can only do so much. I mean, there are things that are uniquely the responsibility of the House and the Senate. And I'm just curious, you know, it seems to me that most of the time, this, at least over these past couple of months since Trump took office, Congress has been out of session doing something else, not accomplishing the president's agenda.
Yes, sir. I would agree with that, Todd. And I mean, you look here in Memphis, President Trump acted to send reinforcements down to help with the crime here in what many of us call a criminal rebellion in Memphis. And many of the folks I've talked to here in Memphis, my trips down, they're like, why did we wait? I think, again, back to the leadership President Trump led. We didn't lead very well in Nashville. The Nashville establishment was reluctant to act and support the citizens of Memphis. And I really think Memphis is the Tennessee Pearl on the Mississippi River, and we should have acted some time ago. I'm glad that things are getting better here, and I hope we'll take on the corruption and the malfeasance that has led to the crime that we have.
What sets you apart from someone like Congressman John Rose, whose family has been here for generations? They're farmers, or Marsha Blackburn?
My voting record, I would be the first thing I would offer to you. I scored 100 on our Freedom Index, the John Birch Society assessment of constitutional small government principles. Both of them scored in the 60s. While they have talked about energy, I set up an energy policy in the state of Tennessee and restructured the Energy Policy Council. They have failed to act to protect our farmers and our families from geoengineering efforts, which may be denying us rainfall and helping with drought conditions in Middle and West Tennessee. We acted. We took that on. We led the nation from the Tennessee House with that. We have led the nation. You know, I'm a Christian, and we led the nation in something that our founders used to do in praying for God's mercy and healing on Tennessee. We've established July as a month of prayer and fasting in Tennessee. So I would just offer that the delta is this. We have lots of people that go to D.C. and talk, and they get accustomed to spending lots and lots of money and other people's money, and our budget has grown like crazy, $38 trillion in debt, unforgivable. I stood against the budget this year in Tennessee when our budget went from $37.5 to $59.5 billion over a course of six years under Governor Lee. I voted against it. I tried to offer our little DOGE effort, if you will. I had five amendments to take money out of the budget this year. We weren't successful with those, but I'm a fiscal conservative, and I don't think either of the other candidates have demonstrated that.
You've also weighed in on the school choice issue, and I think a lot of people were very concerned that their tax money might be going to help fund a Muslim school. I mean, that has been a big issue around the entire nation, but especially in Tennessee. There are some Republicans who say, well, if you're going to give money, if parents are able to send their kids to a Christian school, you got to be able to support the parents sending their kids to a Muslim school. How do you square that, and where do you fall on the school choice?
I am all for school choice. We didn't need Governor Lee to make us free. We were already liberated in East Tennessee. I think you were in West Tennessee as well. We could make the decision to send our children or our grandchildren to private schools and pay for it. Article 11, Section 12 of the Tennessee Constitution precludes us from doing what Governor Lee has done. I think it is unconstitutional. I would end the voucher program as a governor. I think that it is important that we demand excellence from our schools. And rather than providing a workaround and incentivizing a select 20,000 people and with a fiscally irresponsible plan, I think it would be best to hold these failing schools accountable and perhaps withhold their funding if they don't meet the standard for excellence in Tennessee. And I think that's tremendously important for us, for the leader to do that.
I said choice, but I meant vouchers. So,
yes,
but you picked up on that.
Yes,
so very cool. All right, Monty, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign and what you stand for?
I'm on Facebook at Monty Fritz for Governor on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on TikTok, all of the social media platforms. If you look up MONTY FRITTS, you'll come up with our website.
Oh, you're doing TikTok.
I am. Yes. Yeah. I can barely spell it, but we're trying to do it.
Yeah. I had to draw the line. I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah. It becomes a platform to get out to a different audience of people that we don't have a huge presence with that. We've grown a lot in some of the other social media platforms. But I think it's important to learn to get the word out to as many people as possible. Getting some help in how we do that, it's important. Again, I I look forward to the day when I don't have to have a smartphone maybe 8 years from now and go back to a flip phone.
Monty, we're going to leave it there. Good luck to you out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much.
All right, Monty Fritz, everybody, wants to be the next governor of the great state of Tennessee, dropping by in studio. Always fun to have in-studio visitors. All right, we've got to take a quick break, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, a little breaking news here from Washington. This coming from the Department of War. So you remember last week we played you the video of the six lawmakers, all military veterans, by the way. So this could impact all of them, but right now, these six lawmakers, military veterans, calling on service members to disobey what they considered to be illegal orders. Well, the problem is Trump's never issued an illegal order, and it is against the law. There are laws on the books that prevent members of Congress from doing what these individuals did. But there's another shoe is dropped now. So we can report, this coming from the Department of War, that they are looking at recalling Senator Mark Kelly to active duty. And if they do that, then the senator would be court-martialed for telling troops to refuse President Trump's orders. According to the statement here, I'm reading this from the Department of War. The Department of War has received serious allegations of misconduct against Captain Mark Kelly, retired U.S. Navy, in accordance with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, 10 U.S.C. Section 688, and other applicable regulations. A thorough review of these allegations has been initiated to determine further actions, which may include recall to active duty for court-martial proceedings or administrative measures. Now, what I find fascinating about this, over the weekend, you had a number of these lawmakers, and they are feeling the heat on this. And even the folks over at PMS Now and CNN understand exactly how much trouble these lawmakers are in. So they've been trying to walk back their statements. But you can't walk it back because they said what they said. There's no hemming or hawing about it at all. So coming up in the next hour, we're going to play some audio, and I think it's fascinating that CBS News, of all people, and this may have been the work of Barry Weiss, CBS News actually called out Congressman Jason Crow for flat-out lying about President Trump issuing illegal orders. Because the only question, and this should be the only question that we ought to be asking these lawmakers, what were the illegal orders? What were the illegal orders? So we'll get into that in the next hour. Also, we introduced you to some students from Rhodes College on our program, and this was about a month or so ago, and we've had the students on our Newsmax show. Good, solid kids, and they have launched conservative organizations at Rhodes, which is where Jasmine Crockett and Amy Coney Barrett went to college. Far left school. Now these conservative kids are getting attacked. They're getting doxxed. They're getting threatened because they appeared on this program. and we're going to talk about it. We're going to play exactly what got them in trouble. But all of that is coming up in the next hour of the program. It's really sad that even in the southern states, conservative kids are coming under attack on their campuses. And one of the things I've noticed about all of this, the conservative kids are not doing this to liberals. It's always the liberals doing it to conservatives. Also coming up, a bunch of Muslims got very offended by slabs of bacon. This happening in Florida. We'll tell you how all of that went down. And now these men, these Christian men who offered Muslims bacon, are facing federal hate crime charges. So we'll tell you all about that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We'll be right back.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So we are following this bit of news coming out of the War Department where they have just announced they're going to be launching an investigation into Senator Mark Kelly, who is the Democrat from Arizona. By the way, Senator Kelly, also a former space shuttle commander. He is a Navy veteran, and he's retired. But the Department of War is considering recalling Senator Kelly to active duty so that he could be court-martialed. An investigation has already been commenced. Kelly is one of the six Democrats in Congress who told U.S. troops to refuse President Trump's orders. And now they're beginning to discover the FAFO rule in life. And many of them, I suspect, are beginning to regret their participation in all of this. So one of them, Congressman Jason Crows, was on CBS News Sunday and was asked about this. Cut 10.
Let's get to the content of what you had in that video you released, because there are also 15 House Republicans who are also veterans who released a video, including a retired three-star Marine Corps general, Jack Bergman. Take a listen to this.
Troops, listen up. Any service member who refuses a lawful order is subject to court-martial for violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
We study what's lawful and what's not lawful, and the Democrats stunt insinuating that they're illegal or unconstitutional orders. It's downright dangerous.
It is corrosive. It is meant to weaken our country and weaken the military.
How do you respond to these allegations from your colleagues, fellow veterans, that what you have put out there is weakening and corrosive to the military?
Well, these unfortunately are some of Trump's core supporters that are rallying behind the president, and they know better. They know exactly the difference between lawful versus unlawful. We were very clear in the video that what we're talking about is unlawful orders. You have the president's spokesperson going into a press conference this past week and saying that we called for people to disobey lawful orders. They're simply lying because the truth is unacceptable to them. It's unacceptable. We wanted to start a conversation, and we did, about the dangerous rhetoric this president is using and the threats that he's made to use our military in an unlawful way.
Specifically what?
Well, send troops into Chicago, send troops into polling stations, kill terrorists' families, arrest and execute members of Congress.
Yeah, folks, it's not good for the Democrats. A couple of things here, which I was not aware of, but I think this is interesting. If you are a military veteran, if you're a retiree, you do actually remain subject to the UCMJ. And if nothing else, the military is putting out, the Secretary of War putting out a reminder that orders are presumed to be lawful and must be obeyed. The idea that, and you know why they're having to do that, because there are still a lot of woke people in the military. And many of those people will do exactly what those Democrats said. And that's why they're coming out and saying, hey, look, folks, you do this, those orders are presumed to be lawful, and you've got to obey those laws. The department also cited a number of federal statutes, including 18 U.S. Code 2387, reading from Fox News here, which prohibits attempts to undermine the loyalty, morale, or discipline of the U.S. forces. And it certainly appears to me that that's exactly what they're doing here. The statement goes on to say the Department of War reminds all individuals that military retirees remain subject to the UCMJ for applicable offenses. A service member's personal philosophy does not justify or excuse the disobedience of an otherwise lawful order. I think they have to throw the book. They have to throw the book at these people. And if Alyssa Slotkin, from the senator from Michigan, if she and this guy Mark Kelly were the instigators, then let's hold them accountable and tell everybody else you get a pass. But I'm telling you, it is not a good situation when you've got members of Congress out there saying, hey, look, you've got to disobey those orders. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Here is Rick Grenell, the former director of National Intelligence, and he is very concerned about all of this. And not only were they telling military personnel, but also members of the intelligence forces to disobey orders they consider to be illegal. Cut number 11.
Rick, I want to get your take about what has taken place since you were DNI. You're the former DNI. Also, you are presidential envoy for special missions of the United Nations. This last 10 years and this investigation ongoing on whether or not it is a conspiracy, beginning with Russia collusion, where one political campaign, Hillary Clinton, came up with a lie about her political enemy and it goes viral across the world, to the Hunter Biden laptop, to impeachments and then 90 plus indictments against President Trump, the Mar-a-Lago raid. What do you want to say about what we have just experienced for 10 years of attacks against this president?
Well, it's clear to me that the bureaucracy led by the Democrats and the press are going to attack President Trump every time he tries to reform Washington. They don't want to reform. They like the system the way it is. And so when you look at the very beginning, when President Trump arrived in 2017, really beginning in 2016 with the election, the intelligence community and others had so many bad apples that they went after President Trump and created the Russian collusion hoax and all of these other things. This video that these Democrat elected officials are doing now is a call to arms to try to get the last remaining few people within the intelligence community, within the bureaucracy, to stand up and fight. I think it is an outrageous video. We should call it out constantly. What they're trying to do is mount an insurrection from within. And President Trump is right to be extremely angry. And I hope that John Ratcliffe and Tulsi Gabbard understand that they've got to dig deep now to figure out how do we stop any of these leaks that are clearly going to be coming.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And it is something, you know, we're going to have to pay attention to. But anyway, I go back to this. Let's just take the top two instigators, the people who organized this, and let's throw the book at them. throw the absolute book at them. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This story from the University of South Florida. And hate crime charges have been filed against three Christian men. And here's the story. And by the way, this is the University of South Florida Police Department. So the university's police department filing hate crime charges against three people that are being called Christian nationalists. Now, here's what happened. You had a bunch of Muslims, and the Muslims were on the rooftop of a parking garage on campus. That's when the three men showed up, the three Christian men showed up, and the Muslim students had their prayer rugs out, and they were doing their morning prayers. This was happening in the very early morning hours. The men, the three Christian men, showed up, and they were chanting things like Jesus is Lord, and they had bacon, and they were offering the Muslim students bacon. The leader of the group is, by the way, the group is called Warriors for Christ. They have a YouTube channel, and they do live streams. The group is known for protesting gay events outside abortion clinics and against Islam. The Southern Poverty Law Center has designated them a hate group, but they designate everybody a hate group. So anyway, there was this gathering, and one of the men, oh, here we go, videos, and I can't play, the audio is very bad, so I'll just describe what we saw. The men shouted and mocked Islam. They're heard on the video telling the prayer participants they were going to burn in hell and that they needed Jesus Christ. Okay, let me stop here. Is that a hate crime? Is that a hate crime to tell a Muslim they're going to burn in hell and they need Jesus Christ? Because I know these folks, there are a lot of Christians who do this. You know, they're the ones that go out to the ball games and the big national events, and they've got the huge banners. And, you know, they're out there doing what they do. You may not agree with it, but that's what they do. One man wore a white garment with the word Jesus is God written on the front and shouted at the students to look towards a cardboard box with the words Kaaba 2.0 Jesus is Lord. So apparently Kaaba is a shrine in Mecca where Muslims orient themselves during prayer. At one point, a man waved his finger in the face of a student. The student then grabbed his wrist. The man said, "Did we put our hands on you? Did we touch you? No, but that's what you did. This isn't harassment. This is free speech." And then they offered them bacon. At a press conference, the Muslims broke down in tears when they said they had been offered bacon. Personally, I would have taken the bacon, and I would have thought it to be delicious. So now these men are in jail facing hate crime charges, and the question is, what these men did, was it offensive to the Muslims? Absolutely, no doubt about it. Would the average Christian person go up and disrupt prayers on a parking garage at a public university? Probably not. But I have a couple of questions here. Where are the hate crime charges whenever people do this to Christians? Because this is done all the time to Christians, and nobody's ever charged with a hate crime. It's just a matter of this is the country we live in. And sometimes free speech is a very ugly thing. Did they slap the Muslims with the bacon? No, they literally offered them bacon. So now people are wondering if this is overkill here, and if in fact this is in fact a hate crime. Would I do something like that? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But at the same time, I would expect people to respect Christians, and that is not happening. Oh, the men were actually saying, and we'll try to get this audio. I think this audio is okay. The men were actually saying, "Bacon, it's really good. Bacon, anybody? You can eat bacon whenever you want." One of the Muslims said, "We look up to see them taunting us in our faces with bacon." Curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
Every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Bacon. It's really good.
Bacon?
Bacon? Anybody?
Under the new rules from the 12th Imam, you can eat bacon. It's halal. You can eat bacon whenever you want.
After the prayer ended, we look up to see them taunting us in our faces with bacon.
I had to relive the whole thing again.
So they were really upset about the bacon. So the U.S. University of South Florida police say that is a hate crime, what you just heard. Let's go to Kathy in Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Well, do you remember a couple months ago, it might have been a little longer, but there was a city council meeting or something, and the mayor of Dearborn was presiding, and he promptly told a Christian pastor that he can't wait until his church folds or whatever, and he's out of town, and he's going to hold a parade to celebrate their departure. And aren't they blowing Muslim prayer calls or something 5 times a day in Dearborn?
Yeah, at least. And by the way, the mayor, Abdullah Hakmoud, refused to apologize to that local Christian minister.
Uh-huh. And he shamed him right in a council meeting.
Yes, that is correct. They were naming the street after some sort of Muslim terrorist apologist, and the Christian pastor objected, and the mayor said, "Hey, look, you're not welcome here anymore."
Right, that's right.
So you think that might be a hate crime?
Well, it's something. It's something.
Yeah, look, here's the deal, Kathy. I mean, if these guys had gone into a mosque and started preaching that Jesus is Lord and, you know, passing around bacon, I would have a problem with that. But if you're in a public setting, like a parking garage paid for by our tax dollars, hey, look, it's called free speech, and you may find it grossly offensive. But look, they've been doing this to Christians for years, and I don't recall of anybody being charged with a hate crime.
Yeah. So I just wanted to remind people, you know, how Muslims treat Christians.
Yeah, not very well. They just don't. And Jews even worse. I mean, they treat the Jews worse than us. But yeah, it's not good, Kathy, not good at all. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But the idea that these guys, I mean, they could go to jail for a very, very long time as a result of what they did. They did not lay a hand on anybody. all they did was, and I don't know what was it that set off the hate crime charges. Was it the bacon? Was it offering them some bacon? I know in the southern states, that's pretty hospitable. You're going to offer somebody a snack? In this case, it was bacon. But again, offensive? Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Absolutely offensive. But is it illegal? That's the broader question. And the idea this is happening in Florida, ladies and gentlemen, wow. That's just shocking. And again, when they're saying they were shouting slurs, what were they shouting slurs? What were the slurs? They were shouting that Jesus is Lord. They also asked one of the Muslims, you don't have a bomb on you, do you? It is what it is. The students, the Muslim students claimed that the men just stood inches away from them and they were shouting, bow down to Lord Jesus Christ and your prophet married a six-year-old. Is that what caused the hate crime charge? I'm just curious what caused the hate crime charge. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Tim in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just couldn't pass on this one because my first thought really about this issue with the students and their so-called hate crime, I just don't want anybody to get the – I don't want any group to get the headline and make such a spectacle out of the gospel when we had just recently the greatest example through our dear Charlie Kirk. And his way of approaching people with the truth of Scripture, the facts of the gospel, and a genuine appeal to lost people, that is no way to approach that. They get a failing grade in my book, and I wish they had. Apparently, there's some leadership upline that needs to correct some things because that is totally against how Scripture tells us to approach bringing the gospel to people that need it. Absolutely not. The other side of that, though, is that, no, sorry, this is not a hate crime. You know, hate crimes are generally bogus anyway. And you've addressed that a number of times in the past, and I think it's true. We have laws, we have rules when it comes to decorum within meetings, and Christians, just like anybody else, we need to operate within those and stand up for our rights and reclaim our rights when it's necessary. No, I'm sorry, it's not a crime. It's poor behavior, like you said. They get a terrible F in my book when it comes to sharing the gospel of reconciliation. But no, sorry. And let's remember Charlie's example.
All right. Tim, thank you for that. And again, folks, here's the deal. I don't know who needs to hear this. Bacon is not a hate crime. Let me say that again. Bacon is not a hate crime. It is a blessing from the Lord. It's that simple. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend. He is the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, Steve Gill. Steve, hope you're doing good today.
I am. Denial of bacon could be a hate crime. I saw a recipe the other day that said something about using leftover bacon. It's like, who would ever have leftover bacon?
It's a...
You have to make bacon so you can do that recipe.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I look, if it's bacon, I'm there. So that's all there is to it. Steve, we've got to talk about this big race. Well, first of all, before we get to that race, there's a story up on Mediaite that caught my attention. Jake Sherman over at Punch Bowl been talking to a lot of Republicans, and there was a meeting Monday within the Republican House Conference, and one senior GOP member was blasting the Trump administration and Speaker Mike Johnson. They said the House GOP is a tinderbox. Predicted many more members will be heading for the exit. And, of course, the hullabaloo is about MTG, but there are others. Jake Sherman then quoted a senior House Republican who said, "This entire White House team has treated all members like garbage, all. And Mike Johnson has let it happen because he wanted it to happen. That is the sentiment of nearly all appropriators, authorizers, hawks, doves, rank and file." What say you to this? Are you surprised?
No, I'm not really surprised, because there's a big distinction between Republicans and Democrats. Democrats focus on power. They will do anything to get, keep, maintain, and grow power for the sake of power. That's why they can have a very divided policy platform, but they stay together. I mean, there's no reason that the union member should be part of a party that is embracing illegal aliens that steal the jobs from union members. But they are so committed to power that they stay together, hang together, no matter what. Republicans generally are more policy-oriented, and that's where when we have divisions, you're going to see some, you know, kind of wander off the reservation, so to speak, where they're not just going to toe the line and do whatever the leadership wants, because they're really committed to the policies they believe in, not just having power for the sake of power. So I think that distinction is one of the reasons that when you have a very narrow Republican majority, one or two seats in the House, you know, one or two seats in the U.S. Senate, it is very hard to hold things together, which is why we need conservative majorities in the House and Senate to actually be able to get things done, because the moderates are going to be as committed to their rhino views as we are to our conservative views, and they're not going to be on board with doing what a conservative policymaker is going to be, you know, aggressively pushing for.
This is interesting. The numbers of lawmakers that are retiring in this election cycle, a lot of them, including over 20 Republicans. So, 23 Republicans, 16 Democrats say they're not going to seek reelection. And I want to read this to you from the story. "The arrogance of the White House team is off-putting to members who are run roughshod and threatened. They don't even allow little wins like announcing small grants or even responding from agencies. Not even the high profile, the regular rank and file random members are more upset than ever." I would say now that's a typo. "Now even the high profile, the rank and file random members are more upset than ever. Members know that they're going into the minority after the midterms." Really? Because, again, I mean, if the economy turns around and it really is humming like we're expecting, I think the Republicans are going to be able to maintain control here.
Yeah, I think the Republicans do maintain control. In part because, as you point out, the economy is turning, even though the Democrats, you know, again, they stay on message. Oh, things are more expensive than ever. Really? You're talking about gas prices when they were over $4, when they were, buying gas under Joe Biden, and it's now in the mid to high $2 range and headed down. Is it the grocery prices where eggs and bread and everything else has come down dramatically from the, you know, high inflation under Joe Biden? You don't just flip a switch with the economy and have it move overnight. You don't have these trillions of dollars in investment that President Trump is bringing to the U.S. and create jobs immediately. It takes time to build a new factory and hire people. So I think next year you're going to see an even more dramatic improvement in the economy. And more importantly, when Jerome Powell finally has to hit the exit and interest rates come down, that's going to help create a boom for the housing market, lower rental prices. As we, you know, get more of the illegals out of the country, that will lower housing costs, it will lower other costs, tax costs. So the economy is really set to improve next year as we head into the election, assuming we can keep the media from continuing to talk it down.
Steve, we've got a big race coming up in Tennessee, of all places, December the 2nd. And it just seems to me, based on the reactions I've been getting, you know, just here from Republicans in the state of Tennessee, there's some concern. And I'm wondering what the concern is. Is it the candidate? Is it that people just are not getting out and doing early voting? What's the concern?
I think the concern is the geography that's at play here. In early voting, which ends literally at noon Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Horrible timing of when you're going to have an election. People are not focused on elections. This is the only one in the country, and it's coming over the Thanksgiving holidays, December 2nd, when a lot of people get back to work after Thanksgiving break. So this is not a typical election time. And then the geography, there's 14 counties in this particular district in Tennessee, and in most of these counties, they're rural counties, but they don't have a lot of satellite locations where people can vote. You have to drive all the way to the county seat, in some cases 20, 25 miles, to vote early or on election day. So I think there's a legitimate concern that turnout will be lower than it. This is a plus 11 Republican district. Trump carried it by over 20 points last November. It should be a Republican district, but the timing of the election, the geography of where voters have to go, gives Democrats a shot. And the National Democratic Party and outside forces are dumping millions into this race to elect a truly woke job, not a whack job. He's also a whack job. But Afton Bend, a true woke, radical liberal, is poised to win if Republicans don't turn out.
Wow, that's not good. Now, here's the thing, though. I don't think she's going to win. Again, I think we're going to have enough Republican voters getting out there. I think what they're going to be looking, the Democrats are going to be looking at percentages. What percentage of the vote did their little woke gal get? And, you know, if it's close, then I think they're going to score that as a win.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. But, you know, it's like Ricky Bobby said in Talladega Nights, you know, if you're not first, you're last. If you're not first, you're last in this race. So second place doesn't count for anything. I do think that the early vote is starting to shift in the right way. Davidson County, where part of this district is, Nashville, is where the base of Democrat votes are. And about 25% of the early vote right now is coming from there. But about 25% of the vote is coming from Montgomery County, Clarksville, where the 101st Airborne military base is. That's going to help. And then other 11 rural counties are starting to kind of tip up their vote turnout. As long as Matt Van Epps, who's the Republican nominee, can hold with the Montgomery County and Davidson County votes, he wins in the rural areas.
All right, good stuff. Steve Gill, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Steve, we're going to leave it there. TriStarDaily.com, the website. Always appreciate your good stuff.
Thanks, my friend. We'll talk soon. And hey, have a great Thanksgiving to you and your listeners if we don't talk before Thursday.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Steve Gill, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. By the way, there was a guy who found a menu, a Thanksgiving menu from 1960 from a Howard Johnson's. Anybody remember Hojo? Back in the day, Howard Johnson's, that was like the really cool hotel chain because they had these awesome diners. So, Dylan, I want you to take a wild guess. How much did Thanksgiving dinner cost the average person in 1960?
I'm going to guess $5.
$5.
Or $10. $5 or $10.
$10. All right, $10.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, no, that's incorrect. Yeah. $2.25.
Oh, my gosh. I was way out. Wait, I actually thought it was going to be more for some reason.
No. That's impressive. Yeah. So if you were at a Howard Johnson's for Thanksgiving in 1960, Long Island, New York, you're paying $2.25 for your turkey dinner. Here's what you got. This is what you get for $2.25. You get turkey. You get gravy. You get cranberry sauce and a lineup of sides with a few charming period touches as well. Among them, and we're going to go through this. I just think this is all fascinating. But the menu starts off with a chilled fruit cup with sherbet, followed by celery and olives. No butternut squash, but you're going to get cream of celery soup with croutons. I wonder if it was made with a 3D printer.
Probably not. Probably not. Organic back then.
Along with the turkey, you get the giblet gravy and something called Cape Cod cranberry sauce. Does that come in the can? That's the only stuff I eat. I don't like that the newfangled stuff where they make it from scratch, from the berries. I want it in the can. There's mashed potatoes. This is all for $2.25. Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, buttered peas, mashed turnips, butternut squash, boiled buttered onions, sweet mixed pickles, rolls, butter, and a Waldorf salad. And then for dessert, back in the 1960s, sherbet was a big deal. But you also got pie, either pumpkin, apple, or mints, or you could get sherbet. That was a big thing back in the 1960s. So there you have it. Do you know what the cost of that meal would be today? Don't take a wild guess what that $2.25 meal would cost you today.
Today, probably north of $100, $150 maybe, $125.
$24.52.
Okay, sorry. I haven't been to the grocery store in a minute.
It's not Ruth's Chris, man. It's not Morton's.
I'm a Gen Zer. What do you want?
It's Howard Johnson's, for crying out loud.
I'm going to Popeye's for my turkey. You can't put anything on me.
Ooh, I love Popeye's.
Yeah, you heard about that. They do the Thanksgiving.
Well, you're coming over to the family Thanksgiving feast, aren't you?
It's true.
I'm making sides.
I can't wait for your sides. As long as it's not green bean casserole.
I'm not doing the green beans. No. Not green bean casserole.
Thank you.
I'm thinking about doing the Chipotle. It's kind of like a Chipotle sweet potato mash.
Okay. That sounds really good.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. I hope it's going to be good. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's $2.25. Those are the good old days. 901-260-5926. By the way, tonight on Newsmax, millions are already watching on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you're going to get great shows. Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Take seconds to start and let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. Should men wear pink? That seems to be the raging question. I don't know how I missed out on the controversy, but J. Crew is offering up a man's sweater, and I don't necessarily have a problem with pink. I think whatever your color is. I remember when I was at Fox News back in the day, the wardrobe ladies said that pink was my color, and that's I had a lot of pink ties. But that's where I drew the line. I wasn't going to wear a pink shirt. But this pink sweater that J. Crew is selling, it's not so much, I don't think it's so much that it's pink. It's like the collar, around the collar, they have what looks like to be the edging of your grandmother's dining room table. It kind of looks like Estelle Getty on the Golden Girls. It looks like what a grandmother would wear, not a dude. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but apparently there's a big debate online about whether or not men should be wearing pink. Some social media pundits are saying it feminizes men. The controversy started after Juanita Broderick posted about it on X, and she's gotten hundreds of thousands of views. Valerie Steele is the director and chief curator of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Historically, colors don't have any intrinsic meaning like, you know, male or female. It's always culturally constructed. Up until the 1920s, American department stores debated whether pink was for boys or girls, or whether blue was for girls or boys. Again, I'm not so sure it's the color as much as it is that weird, like, old lady pattern going on. I don't know. It's a lot to debate in America. I'm not sure male sweaters is up there, but who knows? It's a weird election cycle. All right, hang tight, folks. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is The Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there are just a few shenanigans being played right now in the House of Representatives, and you've got a lot of very upset Republicans, some of whom are thinking about doing the unthinkable, which is retiring early or resigning their seats in Congress. Keep in mind that you need 218 seats to control Congress. The Republicans have 219. MTG is leaving in January. And there are several people reporting, including Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News. He's got a lot of good sources up on Capitol Hill. Also, Rich Barris, who is the director of Big Data Polling, chairman of the National Association of Independent Pollsters. And they're both reporting very similar information coming out of this House caucus meeting or House conference meeting today, where there may be some explosive resignations coming up. And by that, these are not on the radar, at least publicly. And some people are suggesting that the reason why, and this is a bit of a shock, but there is a possibility that Mike Johnson could end up losing the gavel before the midterm elections. I mean, that's how serious this could be. One Republican, I want to read this to you. This entire White House team has treated all members like garbage. All, and Mike Johnson let it happen because he wanted it to happen. The arrogance of this White House team is off-putting to members who are run roughshod and threatened. They don't even allow little wins like announcing small grants or responding from agencies, not even the high profile. The regular rank and file random members are more upset than ever. Members know they are going into the minority after the midterms. More explosive early resignations are coming. It's like a tinderbox. Morale has never been lower. Mike Johnson will be stripped of his gavel, and they will lose the majority before this term is out. So is MTG looking at the writing on the wall here, and is that why she decided to bow out early and call it a day? Rich Barris reporting that Sherman's reporting is accurate. He says, quote, "I've spoken with several people about this myself. The people who told the president that these fights with Massey and MTG were wise, because they will make a ton of money off of them, have put the president in serious political danger. Most members are not America First and have always been waiting for an opportunity to betray him. There are several more seriously considering resignations, and the House majority could be gone before the midterms. Now, let me just say this, that I do believe that there are many on Capitol Hill who are not America First, who hate the America First agenda for whatever reason. But may I just say, if you are not an America First lawmaker, you have no business being in Congress. None whatsoever. None at all. And that's the problem. We've got far too many everybody else first, America last lawmakers up on Capitol Hill, and we got to put a stop to it. We've got to. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. John in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Todd, I'm just going to make this comment, and I want to hang up and listen for your – you know the term rats leaving a sinking ship? Well, right now our ship is not sinking. As a matter of fact, it's in best shape in years. And as far as I'm concerned, all these Republican so-called representatives, cowardly rats. And anybody that believes in this country, they ought to send them – a white feather, because I am accusing them here and now of cowardice. They're afraid that our agenda is doing it, and they just do not care about this nation. So as far as I'm concerned, they're just a bunch of rats. Operation send them a white feather, and I am accusing them of cowardice, and I am questioning their integrity and honesty. And I'll hang up and listen for your commentary.
Well, John, hold on a second. I'm curious. So are you talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene here?
Marjorie Taylor Greene and every other congressional representative that's talking about, Republican representative that's talking about jumping ship. Every last one of them. Because they have no honor or integrity. Because, Todd, you call them on the carpet all the time. And as far as I'm concerned, they have no integrity. They don't care about this nation. They say they want to spend time with their families. No. They should take care about the American people. Like those rats that are calling our soldiers to not obey orders, those guys are rats. As far as the congressional the Republicans, like you said, they're more concerned about themselves and their own welfare. They're cowards, Todd. They are.
Well, I'm just confused about, John, here's what I'm confused about, is that MTG has been not just talking the talk, she's been walking it. I mean, she's one of the few lawmakers to go and visit with the J6 people in prison. She has been there over and over and over again. And look, I know her personal life is insane. I get that. Everybody's got their issues. And I don't know if she went sideways as a result of all of that or where she's coming from. It's just hard to understand MTG. Maybe, and I've been in this position before, so is it possible that nobody was listening to her? That she was shut out of the White House, nobody listened to her, so she started going on the networks. Then still nobody was listening, so she went on The View, and she went on PMS. Has she been on PMS now? I don't think so, but definitely CNN. So, again, is that what's going on here? I don't know. But it's all just very weird, and it is putting the entire agenda in jeopardy. That's my concern here.
But Todd, the thing about it is the other ones. You're talking about, you're hearing rumors, and you got your pulse on the people. You got your pulse in Congress. It sounds like they're cowards, Todd. Seriously, am I wrong? If I'm wrong, I apologize. But it sounds like they're cowards, and they sound like they're rats trying to save their own butts, and they don't need to be saved. Our country is back on the right course, and I just don't understand it, Todd. I really don't. Operation White Feather. Operation White Feather.
All right.
White Feathers.
John, thank you for the call. My only thing is this. When your elected member of Congress comes back home for the holidays, I would ask them, what exactly have you done? What have you done for me as a voter, and how did you make our life better? How did you do that? And if their only answer is the one big beautiful bill, I'd vote them out of office. That's what I would do. Because right now, the House, even though they're giving the appearance of working alongside the president, they're really not. Otherwise, they would have been in session 24 hours a day codifying every single thing that Donald Trump is doing with those executive orders, all of it. Because once Trump leaves office, all of that goes away. The next president can come in and completely eradicate everything. We can go back to the Gulf of Mexico. We can go back to the Secretary of Defense. We can go back to, and by the way, I was going to say, go back to boys and girls bathrooms. That's still happening in public schools, and nobody's doing anything. And you know why the schools aren't doing anything about it? Because they know that the administration is just talking on this issue, and they're not going to defund these schools. Otherwise, they would have already done it. So the schools are already there. They already know. So when you go down that laundry list, look at DOGE. I mean, we were talking about trillions of dollars in spending that they were going to be saving, and we're nowhere near those numbers. And I know you say, well, Todd, we're only a year into the administration. Yes, but we only have a year to get this done because come January, these Republicans aren't going to do anything that puts them on radar with the Democrats because of the midterms. So, yeah, you're right. It is just a year, but we've got to get a lot done. Trump has done a lot of great, great stuff. And this is not Trump. We're talking about Congress here. And the Senate, don't even get me started there. What a mess that is. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Martha Stewart has a message for America. When are you eating your Thanksgiving? When normally do you eat your Thanksgiving dinner? Is it like late in the evening? A lot of people do late evening dinners. Do you do it straight up at noon? Some people do it 11:30, or do you do something mid-afternoon? Dylan, now that you're married, do you still have to do the two Thanksgivings?
I get two Thanksgivings, Todd.
Really?
This year I'm doing a lunch and a dinner.
Oh, is there a difference?
Well, the only difference is how much am I going to, or which one am I going to choose to eat less of?
Mm.
Because I don't want to offend either party, but I also don't want to be full from one.
Do you offend your mom or your mother-in-law?
Well, I might get more in trouble with the mom, so I might offend the mother-in-law if it comes to this situation.
Well, then you could get in trouble with the wife.
The wife, yeah. Well,
I mean,
I don't know if I've thought this through fully.
Might want to plot out a course or something.
I might have to. Maybe at one I eat the sides only and one I eat the turkeys only. I'll figure it out.
I bought something and I thought it was going to be good. And I'm dealing with the ramification because I had a snack before I came on air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called pumpkin bread.
Oh, yes.
Which is really normally good, right?
Yep.
So I cut this slice of pumpkin bread and I took a big bite of it. And after the first chew, it's like all of the moisture in my mouth completely evaporated. And I was stuck with this, ugh, whatever. It was almost like, you know, when you're putting up drywall.
Yes.
That's what it kind of tasted like.
Wow. I witnessed you do this, by the way.
I was
right behind
the
you.
Visceral reaction. I thought I was going to choke to death.
Yeah, I had to like get behind you getting ready to do the Heimlich or something.
I'm like, because it was very moist, you know. I mean, you know, it's spongy and
it looked good on the outside, and I'm guessing by what you're saying it wasn't on the inside.
So I'm like, what happened here? So I'm looking at the ingredients. Everything I got was gluten-free.
Yeah. Not the route you want to take for bread, huh?
No, because gluten is like, you know, I mean, you've got to have flour.
Mm-hmm. Flavor.
Flour equals flavor. But this, it was like this gluten stuff. It's sort of like they take chalk and they grind it up and they put it in there.
That's what it is.
Oh, it's terrible.
So you're not going to bring that for Thanksgiving?
No.
Okay.
Mm. All that to say, I'm having some residual issues. So it's like my entire mouth is just like dried out.
I'll get you some water.
And I think it's very upset. They're like, what did you do to us? What was that?
Your taste buds are screaming outside.
The taste buds are gone. I hope I get it back for Thanksgiving. So anyway, Martha Stewart has decided to enter the big debate over the best time to serve Thanksgiving dinner. And this is, it's a fair argument because I've been there. I know that, you know, some people like to wait until 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And that's just too late. So Martha Stewart says the perfect time to do a Thanksgiving meal, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She says people are hungry. They're starting to circle the kitchen. If you have a bunch of guests and you don't want to wait until it's a nightmare. And that's true. You don't want somebody binge eating the turkey. You don't want to see that happen. So anyway, Martha Stewart on NBC, she says you can eat and watch the big games and then have more drinks and have fun and eat dessert later. Oh, we do that. I have the pecan pie, but I do that way later. And then she says you can also take a nap. I like that. She says people are riding in. They do their lunch at noon. They have football, a nap, and then leftovers. And they say round two is always good. No doubt about it. You got to pace yourself. You got to pace yourself. By the way, I was reading another piece, and I'm fascinated by this because I'm not a turkey fan, which is why I'm fascinated by this. But apparently people are eating brisket. Like brisket is like a thing. It's like the new meat for Thanksgiving.
Wouldn't that be nice? I don't like turkey either. I think we should make an official statement that brisket should be the new turkey of this year.
I got no problem with that.
No problem at all.
I think that's a lovely idea. So anyway, some people really are, though, saying, oh, well, you can't do that because the pilgrims didn't have brisket. They had turkey. Did they really?
I don't care what the pilgrims had.
You sure that was a turkey?
They probably had turkey.
I like that. But I was reading a list of things not to bring. Of course, we mentioned the green bean casserole. Someone said charcuterie boards. You should not have a charcuterie board at a Southern Thanksgiving.
No, it's too fancy.
Really?
It's too fancy. Charcuterie boards are for like ladies' movie night. That's a hot take.
That's ladies' food. That's ladies' food.
It'll be gone in like 2 seconds with just a bunch of people.
Oh, well, fair. That is true. And forget it. And again, the problem is you don't want to fill up on crackers, right?
This is true.
You want to make sure that you're getting in there and you're getting the cornbread dressing and all the good fixins.
I think this is a hot take, too. I think the sides are as just important as the turkey or the meat that you're going to serve. Because people like you and me, we're not the turkey fans. And some people think ham is the way to go. I think sides are probably the most important part of Thanksgiving dinner.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you open to something other than turkey? And by the way, I can't eat dark meat. I am not a dark meat person at all. I've got to have white meat. No, it's not racist. I just don't like dark. I mean, if it's steak, okay, but I'm just saying. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. It is what it is. From Eugene, Oregon, they did a survey on the sides, and 63% prefer eating side dishes over the turkey at Thanksgiving. That's us, Dylan. That's me.
There you go. A lot of people agree then.
63%. So, you know what that tells me? We need a new protein at Thanksgiving.
Come on.
If 63%.
Brisket. I would even take chicken. I would take a chicken.
Chicken is better than turkey.
I would take a hamburger. Well, I'm a picky eater, so you probably shouldn't ask me what I would want. Chicken tenders could be on the menu if Thanksgiving was at our house.
So Campbell's, the soup people, had bioengineered the top 5 side dishes.
Do we want to listen to them?
I don't know.
Anymore?
Their top, it's not too bad, though, actually. Stuffing or dressing is number 1. Number 2, mashed potatoes. Number 3, sweet potatoes. Number 4, mac and cheese. And number 5, green bean casserole.
Ugh. I put mac and cheese over sweet potato casserole, but, you know, just my opinion.
47% of Americans say they would be perfectly happy with a plate full of just sides. Mm-hmm. And 44% called the green bean casserole the most iconic Thanksgiving side. 50% of the country believes mac and cheese should be a staple at every holiday table. Yeah, but it can't be like, you know, poured out of the Kraft mac and cheese box with the pre-made cheese sauce. It's got to be homemade. And you got to step it up a notch. You can't
Thanksgiving.
You can't just be coming with like, you know, cheddar Kraft cheese.
No, come on.
You got to put some Gouda in there. Give me some Gouda. It makes it Gouda. Something like that. All right, there you go. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We have some breaking news coming out of Washington. This is just bizarre. And again, this lawfare against Donald Trump is just insane. And it's got to be dealt with. So, gosh, what was it? A couple of weeks ago, it's been longer than that. James Comey and Letitia James were both indicted. And now we have a judge appointed by the Democrats, throwing out the indictments against James Comey and Letitia James. The judge says that the indictments were illegitimate because they were brought by an unqualified U.S. attorney. Judge Cameron Curry is the judge here. And Comey was charged with making false statements, James bank fraud. Now, the good news is that the charges could be brought again. But Judge Curry says, I conclude that Attorney General Pam Bondi's attempt to install Ms. Halligan as interim U.S. attorney, and that Ms. Halligan has been unlawfully serving in the role since 2025 of September. Now, the Department of Justice could appeal the decision, or they could just bring charges under a different U.S. attorney, which either way they should. By the way, Curry was appointed to the bench by Bill Clinton and was brought in from out of state to preside over the cases. So Halligan acted alone in presenting charges to a grand jury after Trump ousted the previous U.S. attorney, an interim. At the same time, Trump urged Pam Bondi in a social media post to act quickly to indict Comey, a call that came as the statutes of limitations in his case were about to lapse. Now, here's the kick in the pants. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I just call it like I see it. It turns out Halligan had no prior prosecutorial experience when she took over one of the most high-profile federal court districts in the country. And she was the lone attorney to present the cases to the grand jury and sign the indictments. Not a single prosecutor from Virginia joined in on the case. So there may be an entirely legitimate, logical reason why you would name an attorney with no prosecutorial experience to one of the most high-profile courts in America. But I'm not seeing the reason why. The DOJ put its full backing behind Halligan. Bondi attempted to ratify and then re-ratify the indictments after the fact. A move, by the way, that Judge Curry suggested would not have been necessary if Halligan were a valid appointee. Look, this is nothing more than lawfare, ladies and gentlemen. Not a single Trump indictment was dismissed, but you start going after the people who are going after Trump, boom. The case is thrown out. And the reality is the judges keep doing this. And you know why the judges keep doing this? Because there are no penalties. The Republicans are not impeaching these judges. They ought to, but they're not. And that's a shame because that's where we are right now. And it's unfortunate. Absolutely unfortunate. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this case out of this a campaign out of Middle Tennessee between Matt Van Epps, a Republican that nobody knows, and this Democrat state representative, her name is Afton Bain. This woman is slap crazy. Cut number two.
Representative, in 2020, you made some tweets that have since been deleted that were very critical of police. You said in those since deleted tweets that the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department should be dissolved. Another cheered on a teachers union saying that defund the police should be a requirement for schools reopening. And another saying good morning, especially to the 54% of Americans that believe burning down a police station is justified. 2020 was obviously a very fraught year. Do you still stand by those comments? And if not, is there anything you want to clarify?
I'm not going to engage in cable news talking points, but what I will say is that our communities need solutions. We need local people deciding, solving local problems with local solutions. And that's not the overreach of a federal government or state government of what we are dealing with in Nashville and our cities across the state of Tennessee.
So you don't want to clarify whether you still believe that the police should be defunded?
Once again, I don't remember these tweets, but what I'm saying is that
I'm not asking if you remember. What is your position today? How's that on this issue?
I mean, I'm here to talk about my race, which is in literally 9 days.
Yeah, she's done. She's cooked. So Matt Van Epps was on my Newsmax show on Friday. Here's what he had to say. Cut number three.
She covers Nashville as a in the state house. Mind you, she doesn't live in the Tennessee 7th Congressional District. And we are so opposite here. I met my wife in Nashville. We started a family in Nashville. And, you know, sure, it has its struggles and things that need to be improved. But it's a great city. It's an economic driver. And I'll be honored to represent Nashville along with all 14 counties in Congress when we win decisively on December 2nd. I'm a graduate of the Leadership Nashville program. I've worked in state government here in Nashville. I still serve in the Tennessee Army National Guard. And I'm honored to serve in those capacities, and we'll fight really hard when we win on December 2nd.
Well, there you go. And we'll see how that plays out. But again, the other breaking news is Jake Sherman from Punch Bowl News reporting that there could very well be enough Republicans retiring early, in other words, quitting Congress, that Mike Johnson could very well lose his speaker's gavel before the midterm elections. And if that happens, pay attention, everybody, because it's going to get very ugly very fast in our nation's capital. This story from Mississippi, Millsaps College, affiliated with the United Methodist Church. A professor there by the name of James Boley was fired. Now he was tenured, but he was fired. Why was he fired? Well, the day after President Trump won, the guy went on an unhinged tirade and said that America was a racist, fascist country and that he was canceling class for the day. He was teaching an abortion and religion class. I can only imagine. So now Boley is suing Mississippi College, this Mississippi College, claiming that they violated his rights, claiming that he was censored. The college is defending all of this, telling the College Fix newspaper that the institution is confident about defending its actions in the case. Why am I not surprised by this? So this guy is a Looney Tune leftist, and he ended his class so he could mourn and process the racism and fascism he said existed in the country. Now, I hate it for the guy. He was, teaching more than 20 years, came down with that raging case of Trump derangement syndrome, TDS progresses to stage 4, there's no cure. And so now the professor has filed this lawsuit. He argues that school should foster a free exchange of ideas, which is laughable, laughable. You can't just cancel a class because you get triggered by Donald J. Trump. You're a grown-up. You should start acting like it. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Getting ready to pardon the turkeys. Does that happen? It happens this week. President Trump will pardon turkeys. The Christmas tree has arrived at the White House, and all is well with the world, at least for right now. Up on Capitol Hill, it's a firestorm, but at the White House, everybody seems to be in pretty good spirits. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Todd Stearns, and this is the Todd Stearns Show. Want to remind you about Christmas right around the corner, and you've got to get your orders in quickly because we only have a limited number of books for the holiday season, the Christmas season, and we'd love for you to get a copy, a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings and our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. I always want to mix those two titles up, so Star Spangled Biscuits. I'm sure those are very delicious. Anyway, we'd love for you to get a copy. You can do that at toddstearns.com, or you can get them at your favorite bookstore, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. So it's going to be good. Ran into like five people that listened to the show at the airport, and they came over to visit and say hello. And one couple, this is pretty cool. Every year, or I don't know if every year, but every other year, they go overseas to the Christmas markets. And so they're hitting up like Switzerland, Belgium, Germany. It's going to be a pretty awesome. Anyway, they were flying over to Atlanta to catch their connecting flight overseas. But anyway, great folks, and always fun to be able to run into you great folks as we're wandering out and about around the country. So, Rhodes College, we have an update to this story. So we had a kid on Rhodes. From Rhodes College. He was starting a Young America's Foundation chapter. By the way, today the 100th birthday of William F. Buckley Jr. So he'd have been 100 years old today. Wow, that's just insane. William F. Buckley Jr. founded the Young America's Foundation in Sharon, Connecticut. And one of the things that William F. Buckley understood right away was we were dealing with the fight against communism, and this was not about a political fight. This was good versus evil. This was a moral fight. And so many years later now, you have thousands of YAF chapters on schools all over America. So anyway, the kids at Rhodes College wanted to start a YAF chapter, and they did. The voice you're about to hear is Jack Herman. He's a freshman. He's running on the cross-country team, and he's a conservative. And he talked about the process of opening up the YAF chapter at Rhodes. Cut number five, please.
It was definitely a difficult process. When I went through the student allocations committee, I was asked some ridiculous questions. In the Sharon statement of YAF, it says that communism is the biggest threat to democracy. And I was told that that is not inclusive of some of our students on campus. And I think that trying to spread communist ideals is just ridiculous. And this kind of misinformation is just going rampant around college campuses.
So they turn in all their paperwork and they're reading all the information about YAF, and they whoa, hold up. What do you mean you guys don't like communism? What's that all about? So school administrators actually thought that having a YAF chapter on campus would be offensive and would cause harm to actual communist students. So I asked Jack, well, how many communists do you have on campus? You guys sounds like you've got a good many. Cut number eight.
I guess so. Apparently, I was asked how we are inclusive of those students. And frankly, I just said that, we probably should not be supporting communism on our campus.
So you got an 18-year-old kid saying, yeah, you know, you guys know, right, Mr. University President? Oh, I think it's a female. Right, ma'am, that communism is bad? You do understand that, right? So anyway, Jack was on the show, and he came here to the radio show. We thought, let's try Jack out on Newsmax, which we did. So there's a platform. Dylan, are you familiar with this one? It's called Yik Yak.
I haven't heard that one.
I think I'm getting it right. Or Yak Yak. Mm-hmm. No, it's Yik Yak.
Yik Yak.
It's a Yik Yak. It's for college. So you actually have to have a college email address to be able to join.
Okay.
and they put you in these group texts along with whatever college that you go to. And it's sort of like how Facebook was back in the early days. Back when Facebook first started, you had to be a college student or at least have a college email address. And if you didn't have a college email address, well, you weren't able to join Facebook. So anyway, that's sort of what, I guess, is it Yik Yak? I'm sure.
Yik Yak confirmed, yes.
All right. So anyway, so in this Yik Yak, they're trying to dox all the conservative kids at Rhodes College now. And they're targeting poor Jack. And he texted me over the weekend and said, Mr. Starnes, they're coming after us. And I want to read to you what he said because this was, oh yeah, it is Yik Yak. That's one word, like TikTok, like Yik Yak. Anyway, he said they're really getting nasty. He said, this is more evidence of students on social media threatening me for the things I said on air. And so I encouraged him to reach out to Young America's Foundation and campus police because they've got to, you know, you've got to take these threats seriously. But this young man is standing his ground. And he said that, yeah, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. And I say, good for you, young man. Good for you. So they're taking a stand, and as are other college kids all across America. And I asked him about this and why it's so important to bring a conservative voice to campus. Take a listen to Cut 6.
Yeah, you know, I felt like, especially after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there was just a lot of misinformation being spread around campus, and there was no voice for conservatives. A lot of frats had, you know, posted signs with "Rest in Peace, Charlie Kirk," and they were torn down, and nothing was done by the university, and it was time that we got our voice out there.
Yeah, I love this, and we need more of that kind of thinking out there. Another student reached out. Hold on, where is this story? I was getting a lot of text messages over the weekend, and I got another text from another student at Rhodes who said that they too were targeted, that somebody had actually been tearing down all of their posters and conservative posters and Charlie Kirk stuff, and they've been tearing it down. And it turned out to be a woman, a female student. Guarantee you she had a septum ring. Guarantee you. Bet good money on that. And anyway, so the guy goes to report it to administrators, and the administrators say, why are you harassing this girl? You're like, what the heck is going on? And so now he's the bad guy. So all that to say, I don't care where you're, if you're in school in Houston or Salem, Oregon, or Charlotte, or New York City, Chicago, it doesn't matter. And they're coming after you, and they're trying to silence your voice on campus. We're going to be there to defend you because we're not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. Not going to do it anymore. All right, folks, it has been a great day. We have a busy afternoon. We'll tell you about how things went meeting our troops. 1,000 federal agents we're going to be feeding later this afternoon. It's going to be a great honor, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll tell you all about it tomorrow. We'll be posting some photos as well on our social media feeds. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great, great day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. Get out there. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.